I stand in need of the Lord's help and your prayers. To me, it's a beautiful picture, what I saw. Young people up here this evening offering a sacrifice. I was very glad to see so many young people. Most of the time, they've gone on home on the last Sunday night. One of the reasons that it seems like that I saw a little vision is that those that are represented tonight are the future church. And they will be the future leaders. They will be the future pastors. Future Sunday school teachers. Future evangelists. They will be the life, if they will allow the life to be in them. They will be the life of the Church of God. We have become old enough to be able to witness some things and changes. People that were faithful, that showed us the way, that were a light to us. We do thank the Lord for the lighthouse. It means something to me tonight. For I needed that lighthouse at one time. But do you know, it was those right among us that was also a light. And they had an influence in my life. And I have looked back and I appreciate so much those that stood true. I would like to speak to you tonight about the church. But I feel impressed to also say a few other words before we go to that part. The Lord seemed to impress it upon our hearts that we need our minds stirred up. And you might say, well, my mind has been stirred up through this meeting. Mine has too. Many things has been said in this meeting to stir us up, and God is pleased to do that in this age. What age do you think we are? I believe we're in the last age. I didn't say stage, I said last age. I believe that we need to be reminded of that, and so I'm going to say a few things just that come from the scripture to help you and me to remember that there will be a last day and that there will be a time that time will be no more. We have a scripture that says many people scoff at those things and they don't believe those things. But you and I must not lose that instructions to us that we remember that there is coming a last day. We need to remember that when there is the fullness of time, that Jesus will appear. We need to understand that when the cup of iniquity is full, you and I do not know the day or the hour, but God does. Not even Jesus and not even the angels. Do you remember that? There was a time that I longed for the Lord to come and prayed for it. And then the Lord began to reveal to me that He knows the day and the hour, and it was set before the foundation of the world. And I don't have to worry about when that is, because His grace will be sufficient to that time for every generation. Ever how many generations come, ever how many generations go, there will be sufficient grace for that generation. And it will endure unto the end and past. Thank the Lord. We need to remember that there will come a time that there will be a trump that is sounded that has never been heard before. There were different things spoken of during this meeting that was the first time that it ever happened. When the flood came, it was the first time that ever happened. No one had seen rain. Well, this is going to be a sound. If you are alive and if I am alive, it will be a sound we have never heard before. And when that trump sounds, it will not just be in Oklahoma. It will be in the entire world. And all of the world will recognize what it is. Even though they may not know what it is at this very moment, when they hear that sound, they will know time is over. Just want to remind us of these things and help us to remember them. When that trump sounds, Jesus will come in the air. Do you believe it? I believe it. His word says it. And with Him will be clouds. Clouds of what? Clouds of witnesses. All of those that have gone before, all of those who were victorious, all of those who were able to rise above all of the tests of life, all of the temptations of life, they were victorious. And they made it. And He will come for His people with all of those who were victorious. Thank the Lord. And the scripture tells us that those that are in the grave will come forth, and that those of us that are alive and remain, we will be caught up in the air to ever be with the Lord. I just want to remind you of this. Because Jesus is coming back for a victorious church. He's coming back for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. And we can be that. If we are the people of God, we are a part of His body. In the whole earth, He has a people. Thank the Lord. Did you know that the scripture says for you and me to comfort each other with these words that I have just said? And I hope that some of us can be comforted tonight with these words. There is another scripture. It tells us that we are not to be ignorant of this one thing, that the day of the Lord will come, and that God is not slack concerning His promises, that the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and all the works therein shall be burned up. And then 2 Peter 3:11, I'll read it exactly. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, there is a question that says, what manner of persons should you and I be? These next few words I want to give you from Titus, the second chapter, and from verses 11 through 15, I won't be reading them. I'm just going to be paraphrasing them. And it says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. I want to testify that the grace of God has appeared unto me. It has been sufficient. He said that where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound. And we look around, and when we see little babies being born in the world, we might feel some hesitation there, but I want to tell you, God wants those babies in this world. Those babies are a blessing, and we must not fear that God's grace will not be sufficient for that generation. And so His grace has appeared, and it teaches you and me something, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that you and I should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That we should be also looking for His glorious appearing. It also says in those verses that He gave Himself for us. That He did it to redeem us from what? All iniquity. Did you know there's power over all iniquity, whatever it is in this world, all sin, that He has power over all sin for you, for me? He gave His life for it. He did it to purify unto Himself a peculiar people. This word peculiar simply means special. It is the special, peculiar people of this earth that believe in Him, that is trusting in His great power to redeem us and to deliver us. But He did it for a people that was zealous of good works. I want us to keep that in our mind through the rest of the discourse this evening. God is calling for a people to be zealous. To be, I hesitate to use the word excited because it seems like a term of the world. It's more than just being excited. It's with burning desire, fervent desire for the what? Passion. That's a great word. Thank you, Sister Rosie. It's a passion that pushes us forward, promotes us in His kingdom. So we need to be very passionate about the good works that He wants in His kingdom, by His people. And then verse 15 of that chapter says this. It says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. I'd like for you to remember that verse also. God, in His plan for His people, wants things spoken to us. We all know the scripture that said that He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that will believe. And I believe that the preached word is to the lost. I believe that there will be those that are lost and undone that will hear a gospel message and it will touch their hearts and it will turn them. I believe that. But I also believe that the gospel is for the saved, for the saints of God that we keep saved. I've heard it said from maybe some negative sources that says, well, you people just go there and you just preach at each other. Is that wrong? I don't believe it's wrong. I believe it's good. I believe it's ordained of God. I believe these camp meetings, these revival meetings, our Sunday morning services, our Sunday night, our Wednesday night, every service that He desires to be in our presence and in our hearing is for our good. When we do as the Word commands, we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And it says much more so as ye see the day approaching that we just spoke to you about. It is coming. How much more so should we be in the services listening to the Word of God and allowing it to find its place in our hearts and promoting us and giving us that passion, giving us that zeal? I'd like to change just a little bit now. And I don't have a lot to say in this because I feel that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us individually and give us a passion for the glorious Church of God. There are songwriters and many songs we could have used, but for the sake of time, I'm only going to use this one. And there are words that are spoken in the songs that speak about fair Zion. Do you ever stop and think about the words that you're singing? You know, most of the time, we can sing these songs without looking at the words. I like to do it. I like to see how much I can remember. But sometimes we can sing these songs and our mind be somewhere else and we're not really allowing the words to sink down in our hearts and have meaning. And I say that for a reason. There are these words that should grab hold of our passion, our zeal. It should promote the Spirit of God in us, the love of God in us, the desire for God in us. It should promote those things. And so when I see these words written in the songs that calls the Church of God fair Zion, I get a picture in my mind. Do you get a vision? We need vision. And then I read these words that says, O Church of God, thou spotless bride. You realize that the Church of God is the bride of Christ, that He is coming back for His bride. You realize that she is the only one of her mother. She's the only one. Is that narrow-minded? No, that is by the Scripture. That is the Word of God. I cannot change it. I cannot misinterpret it. I must stand by the Word of God. This song is about without spot and blameless. Do you see the church in her beauty? Do you see the church in her glory? If you don't, I would urge you, seek the Lord for a vision of the Church of God. A number of years ago, I was working in the school in Oklahoma City, and I had students that were coming up to algebra. And it had been many years since I was in an algebra class in the ninth grade. And I could not remember it. And so I took a class at Rose State. And I took another class just out of, because I liked it. And it was American History to 1877. I had that class on a Wednesday evening, and I always went to prayer meeting after the class. The class turned out to be a lecture-type class. We had a textbook, but we really didn't use it. And the professor that was over that class lectured about the Mother Church more than anything else in our history. And I became confused. And I began to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm in the ministry. And this is almost confusing me. I said, what about young people that might not be totally established with a vision and they're hearing these kind of lectures? I decided to fast and pray and seek the Lord. And I said it like this. I said, Lord, where was the church of God down through history? Why did the history books not see the church of God? And the Lord answered me. And I got the vision. And the Lord gave it to me almost like a red line from the very beginning to the end of time. It was there. It is there. It will be there. Just because the historians of our world does not see the true body of Christ in the earth, does not see the true church of God, doesn't mean it wasn't there. And it satisfied me. And I had that vision that I could hold on to, and I was convinced. We need to be convinced. So it's without spot and blameless. And then it says, what a glorious church thou hast built. There's other songs that says, it has no human founder. The church of God is not built on man. Our young people today, get this in your hearts. You're going to need it for the future. If you are going to be the leaders of the church of God, you need a vision of the church of God. It's built by Christ. It is one that is on a solid rock. It's not on shaking ground. We can look at the age around us, and we heard a message the other night concerning the age that we're living in and the effects of that age, the downward spiral of morals and how it affects people, and it affects you and me. It can. It can affect our vision of the church of God. It can affect our vision of God Himself. This is a church that God built. And then it said, without spot and blameless, see the church in her beauty sublime. If you have a vision and you're looking around at people, and if you're looking at the people that are failing and making mistakes, you've got to get your eyes off of people. People are still human. And God is still working with the humans. And He wants everyone to be a part of this body, this family of God. Thank the Lord. I see the church in its beauty, in its holiness. And then as another verse said, without spot and blameless, in the likeness of heaven above. Do you know where it comes down from? It comes from heaven. I have a scripture now. I'd like to start off the first part of it. And I'm going to be referring to Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter, verses 10 through 12. The beginning of that 10th verse says this, thou son of man, shew the house to the house. Now, if I were here to show you the church, I must understand it. I must know what it's all about. I must be convinced of it. I must have convictions of it. We cannot just show you the church of God just by words, but it must be by faith. If I don't have it down in my heart right now, then I may as well stop right now. But I'm going to profess to you that I love the church of God. I'm going to confess and profess that I love the pattern of the church of God. I love the structure and the nature and the design and the form. And if you're looking at those verses, you'll see some of these words. Because that's what it says, to show to the house, to the church of God. This is talking about Israel, but we're putting it in today. I love the functions of the church of God. I love the goings out and the comings in. I love the ordinances, the precepts, the laws, the government. Where's the government? Do you see man rule as our government? Do you see someone has got together, some ministers have got together and determined who was going to preach when? That's called man rule. Other organizations, other religious organizations once practiced it in the way that we are doing it now through Holy Ghost leadership. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And they began to maybe suffer some embarrassment. I want to tell you, liberty of the Spirit is valuable. To you that are young. And you're the next church. You're the next generation. Get it in your hearts that the Holy Spirit is perfectly capable through God. The government is on His shoulder, one shoulder. Let it be down in your heart and believe it. Trust in it. Pray for it. So we do have some that might get out of order. Let us not be embarrassed. Let it not change our method. And say that we can take it in our own hands and that now we can begin to order it all. Thank the Lord for freedom in the Spirit. It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Praise God. I love the government of the Church of God. Don't you? Don't you like to see it happen? Don't you like the beauty of it? Oh, don't come and sit in the pew and not observe the working of the Spirit in the services. Allow your ears to hear the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the songs, in the specials, and even in the prayers and in the preached word. Whatever is said and done, we're here. We're not playing church. We are here worshiping the one true God who has a peculiar people, who wants to speak to them, who even wants to rebuke them at times. I love the principles of the Church of God and the rule of conduct, and I love the customs. Do you love the customs? I love the customs. None of it is too hard to live to by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the last one is, which is the law of the Church of God or of the house. It's holiness. I love holiness. Do you love holiness tonight? Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be possessed and filled with the Holy Spirit. Leading us and guiding us into all truth. Thank the Lord. I praise God tonight that He sent His Spirit back to us. When Jesus left, He told His disciples, "You tarry at Jerusalem. I'll send you the Comforter, and you will be filled with the power." There's power for the people of God. And I thank the Lord for the power of the Holy Spirit. It is very important that we have a vision, that we have a vision to pass to the next generation. I think it's so vital that the next generation, that each generation have a zeal, a passion for the work of God. It's really very necessary then, and I'm going back to Titus, the second chapter, that we do speak and exhort and rebuke with authority through a clear vision. I'd like to read another scripture now in Haggai 2 and 2. And it says, and I'm taking the main part of the scripture, it says, speak to the residue of the people, saying. What is the residue of the people? It's a remnant. It's a remnant. If you're part of a remnant of the people of God, that's who we're speaking to tonight. Speak to the residue of the people, saying this. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Now we read the scripture, shew the house to the house. And we gave you a number of words that they wanted you and me to see, that I spoke of and said, I love this. And then it says, who's left among you that saw the house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Well, this is speaking of the glory of the temple. The temple that was destroyed was glorious. It was magnificent. It was ordered of God. God was very particular how that temple was built. He was very particular when he ordered the tabernacle that moved with the children of Israel. Choosing colors, materials, measurements. Everything about it was according to a plan, a pattern. And when it came down to the temple that was built for God to allow His presence to be there, it was a glorious place. It was no doubt beautiful. And so there came a point that was destroyed. And there was a second temple that was built. And if we go over to Ezra, the third chapter, verses 10 through 13, we won't read all of those. We'll paraphrase some of that for the sake of time. Again, it is speaking of rebuilding the temple. And it describes the emotions of the people. And as the foundation of that temple was laid, it says that there was much praise and singing together. And all of the people shouted with a great shout because the foundation of the house was laid. And then verse 12 says, but many of the priests and the Levites and the chief fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, they wept with a loud voice. Verse 13, so the people could not discern the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping. This is a literal building that they're speaking of. You understand the diverse emotion that we just read about, don't you? The older ones, the ancient ones that had seen the glory of the first. And they saw just the foundation of the second. And it caused them to weep for the glory of the first. Yet the younger generation was looking on. They had not seen the glory of the first. And they were shouting for joy for the foundation of the new. Recently, Lauren and I were up at Monarch. And we went over and looked at the new structure that is being built for a new tabernacle. I could not help but think of this passage. And I had to think back to the ancient ones that started the tabernacle, the one that you and I have been most familiar with. There isn't anyone alive today that saw that structure being built. They're gone. And so the age of the people are similar to my age, or Brother Jim, Sister Nika, Sister Charlotte, Sister Roberta. They've all been going since they were probably young. I've been going since I was a child. And we felt an attachment to it. It wasn't some gorgeous, beautiful building, was it? But it was precious. And God met us there so many times, and we became attached. And as the conversation and discussion was brought before the people of, we need to expand and we need to build over here, and there were some that were pretty sentimental. But God did something and hastened the move. But I look back and I think about it in light of these scriptures that I have just read. And I believe tonight the Lord wants us to be challenged. It's more than a building. A building really isn't what we're looking at anymore. Shouldn't be. The young people get a vision of what the church of God stands for. Not the building, not the structure. God can go with us into the new. Thank the Lord. And I trust that He does. But what it is, it's the pattern. It's the form. It's the functions. It's the ordinances. It's the laws, the customs. And we want to hold the standards of holiness. We want to keep those things. The scripture speaks about the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We want that faith. Young people, you want that faith. Get a hold of that faith. Don't turn it loose. Don't allow yourself to be reasoned out of it. Be convinced. I would like to go now to a few. I'm just going to try to run through this as quickly as I can. There were prophecies in Daniel that could apply to us today. I found this in the 7th chapter. And I'm speaking now of the church in these last days. In that 7th chapter, it tells us that the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. It also says that the saints of the Most High God shall take the kingdom and possess it even forever and ever. Saints, I want to tell you something. This church of God will last till the end of time by those that will stand by it. It is ordered of God to be forever and ever. But it also said that there was a horn that came up and did war or made war with the saints of God. Is there war going on now in the spiritual realm? There is. Satan is our adversary. And we read the scripture that he is going about seeking whom he may devour. It says he's going about as a roaring lion. Many times it doesn't sound like a lion. He can work so slyly. He can work through things, inventions of the enemy. He has invented many things to try to destroy you, or to try to hinder your walk with the Lord, or to try to hinder the power that you have with God. Because the scripture speaks about according to the power that worketh in us. We must have that power working in us this day. It is for the people of God. But we cannot allow the things that the enemy would try to bring in to our hearts, to our lives, the temptations, the saints, it's the electronic devices that seem maybe innocent that become a snare. Oh, I want to tell you something. I was encouraged when a young person came to the altar and felt conviction of spending too much time on some of these things that might not be wrong. Time is running out. Young people, guard your time. Oh, listen, I don't really want to pick on the young people here. I'm telling you, the old ones need to guard your time too. You can spend too much time on Facebook, and it's really not of value. Examine it. Ask the Lord, Lord, am I spending too much time on something that is not valuable? That's the age we're living in. Be on your guard. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. We're coming down to the end. Jesus is going to come again. Daniel 7:24-25, I want to read those verses. Down in the middle of that verse, it says, another shall arise, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue. Now, I'm just giving you some real meat words out of that, because they apply to us. And it said, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. Saints, I want to tell you something. The enemy wants to wear you out. He wants to wear me out. He wants us to become weary in well-doing. This is a trick and a snare of the enemy. Be careful. Watch. I am going to try to present the rest of our burden as quickly as I can. I didn't realize it was getting this late. As I was sitting in my seat and I think other ministers will probably understand this, but I wanted to get up and run. And I didn't want to give the burden tonight. And the Lord was dealing with my heart, and he spoke to me and said, I want you to give this in the positive and not the negative. Sometimes we can say so many things, you know, well, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. But tonight I want to give us some positive things. I want to speak about the power. Did you know that you and I, as a people of God, will have power if we have unity? We will have power. We want power at the altars, don't we? We want success. There's two words that I use in my prayers, and I'm sure you do too. Lord, give us power over this. Give us deliverance. Deliverance and power are two very important words. And we need deliverance and power working in the Church of God. We need it. But unity is going to give us power. Did you know that lifting up of holy hands will give us power? Examine ourselves. We are examples of the next generation. Ministers, all of us are examples to all of these young people here. It's very important to me to lift up my hands and know they are holy. From time to time in our congregation, I have promoted that. And even tonight, I'm not wanting to accuse anyone or make anyone feel downcast or discouraged. I want to challenge you. There is something powerful from a pure heart, from the confidence. It says, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence. And lifting holy hands can give us power. Power over the enemy. We sing these songs that are so anointed, and they speak to us. And when they do, when that is what is in my heart and my life, I want to raise my hand in song. And I want to tell you something. In our congregation, it took a little bit, but they began to operate that way. And they began, and you know, I couldn't keep from saying, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. And they knew what I was doing. I was seeing them raise their hands. And I knew that they were gaining ground. When they are pressing beyond the flesh is wanting you to not demonstrate this act of power. You can have power if by faith you raise your hand. This is my testimony. Thank the Lord. The ancients did it. I believe if I were to ask these that are older than us, when you went to Monarch, did you see a lot of holy hands? God is calling for His people to step up to the plate. Be an example to the next generation. Show them how it's supposed to be. Show the house to the house. There's glory in it. There's victory in it. Thank the Lord. Do you think there is power in obeying the word? Can I hear an amen from us all? Thank the Lord. Did you know you need to practice that? When we went to Monarch and we were visiting over at the New Tabernacle, there was a younger person there, and I just sort of opened up and I said a bunch of things like I'm talking to you all tonight. Did you know we're too silent? Did you know there's power in agreement? Young people, don't be afraid to say amen to the Word of God, even if the older ones aren't. I want to challenge the older ones. I'm not talking about these that I know do it. But we have some that are too silent. We get down to pray, and there's not... I know this doesn't sound positive, but I want it to turn to a positive. Be challenged. Don't be afraid. I remember the Lord dealing with me. Well, this young man that was back up there at the Monarch, he told me, he said, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me about saying amen. And I was so encouraged that here's a young person and God's dealing with a young person to say amen to the Word of God. Oh, thank the Lord. And I told him, I said, well, I want to tell you the first time when the Lord dealt with me about saying amen, I said it, I felt like the whole church turned and looked at me. They didn't, but the enemy wants you to think that. But press beyond that intimidation. Don't be afraid to say amen. When we get down to pray, there is power in agreement. That's how our prayers are going to go up before the Lord, is being in agreement, being in unity. And when don't get down on your knees and be so tired that you want to be tempted to sleep a little bit. I know what it's like. I get tired too, but say amen and say it louder than just those 10 people around you. You know, this is the last meeting of the first camp meeting. We're faced several camp meetings now. What are those going to be like? Are you going to be challenged to fill in the gap? Stand in the gap? Are you going to be able to say, preach it, Lord? Amen! I challenge you to get some old messages. And I don't want this to be negative at all, but get some old time messages and listen to the background. Did you know there's power when you're supporting the message? When you're supporting the Word of God? It's by the Spirit of God that works in you. Oh, I want this glorious church to end up in the most glorious way. Don't you? I want it. Press beyond your box. Agree with the message. You can say, you may not say amen to everything that is said, but to the Word of God, say amen. Oh, I believe God is calling for us to just activate ourselves. Be active. And don't be afraid. If everybody does turn and look at you, smile. Just smile. Maybe they'll do the same thing. I want to challenge the ministers to do it. And I'm sorry that some of our ministers need to be challenged. But do you know, maybe if we all take our place, maybe they'll be challenged. I've said this. When I'm up preaching, I want to hear that somebody's listening. And I've said it to our congregation. The congregations get too quiet. And Sister Velda was the supporter of the message. And when she died, I missed her. And you know what I had to do? I had to consecrate to the quietness and preach it anyway. You don't want the ministers to consecrate to the quietness, do you? We want to be a glorious church. Amen. Thank the Lord. Finishing up with three little scriptures. I am so sorry to hold you all so late. I'm afraid I'm a long-winded preacher. My husband has to get on to me when we get home. He tells me how long I preach, and I can't help it. It's in here. This scripture, I'm going to give you three scriptures, and this is really for us all. Deuteronomy 4 and 32, just a portion of the scripture. You can write it down, read the whole thing if you want to later. It says, ask now of the days that are past. Young people, ask the Lord. Beauty of the first and the glory of the first house. Of the ancients, what did they see that I need to see? Ask of the days that are past. And then Job 8 and 8, it says, inquire, I pray thee, of the former age. I believe there was power in the ancients. Not in them, but of that age. I believe that seeing the enemy, our age, the darkness of the time that we're living in is trying to invade and suppress us and quiet us. That's what I think. It's the enemy. And then I'm ending with Jeremiah 6 and 16, and it says, thus saith the Lord, and we've had the scripture this week, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Young people, you all ask for the old paths. Follow the old paths. And it says, and ask for the good way. This is a good way. I love the church of God. I love the services of God. I love the preaching. I love the prayers. I love the testimonies. I love the songs. Let's put our whole heart into the service. Draw your mind in from whatever is out there for tomorrow. Put your hope. When you go to Monarch this year, I'm going to challenge you right now. Begin to pray right now. Say, Lord, I do this. I prayed this way before this meeting started. I'm going to pray this way for Monarch. Lord, help me to go and put my whole heart into the meeting. You know, it just takes a few of us to set the fire. You and you and you and you can start a fire. I want to start a fire, don't you? I want the Church of God to be in all of her glory today. I don't want to talk about the glories of way back there. It can be ours today. Pray for me.